there was nothing outside. It was neither black, nor grey, nor white. It was not thick or transparent. It did not move. It had no smell and no feel. When Sophie put a very cautious finger out into it, it was neither hot nor cold. It felt of nothing. It seemed utterly and completely nothing. "What is this?" she asked Calcifer. Calcifer was as interested as Sophie. His blue face was leading right out of the grate to see the door. He had forgotten the fog.
"I don't know," he whispered. "I only maintain it. All I know is that it's on the side of the castle that no one can walk around. It feels quite far away."
"It feels beyond the moon," said Sophie. She shut the door and turned the knob green downward. She hesitated a minute and then started to hobble to the stairs.
"He's locked it," said Calcifer. "He told me to tell you if you tried to snoop again."
"Oh," said Sophie. "What has he got up there?"
"I've no idea," said Calcifer. "I don't know anything about upstairs. If you only knew how frustrating it is, I can't even really see outside the castle. Only enough to see what direction I'm going in."
Sophie, feeling equally frustrated, sat down and began mending the grey and scarlet suit. Michael came in quite soon after that.
"The king saw me at once," he said.
He looked round the room. His eyes went to the empty corner where the guitar usually stood.
"Oh, no," he said. "Not the lady friend again. I thought she'd fallen in love with him, and it was all over days ago. What's keeping her?"
Calcifer fist wickedly.
"You got the signs wrong. Heartless Howl is finding this lady rather tough. He decided to leave her alone a few days to see if that would help, that's all."
"Bother," said Michael. "That's bound to mean trouble. And here was I hoping Howl was almost sensible again." Sophie banged the suit down on her knees.
"Really," she said, "how can you both talk like that about such utter wickedness? At least I suppose I can't blame Calcifer since he's an evil demon, but you, Michael..."
"I don't think I'm evil," Calcifer protested.
"But I'm not calm about it, if that's what you think," Michael said. "If you knew the trouble we've had because Hal will keep falling in love like this. We've had lawsuits and suitors with swords and mothers with rolling pins and fathers and uncles with cudgels and aunts. Aunts are terrible. They go for you with hat pins. But the worst is when the girl herself finds out where Hal lives and turns up at the door crying and miserable. Hal goes out through the back door and Calcifer and I have to deal with them all."
"I hate the unhappy ones," Calcifer said. "They drip on me. I'd rather have them angry."
"Now let's get this straight," Sophie said, clenching her fists knobbly in red satin. "What does Hal do to these poor females?
I was told he ate their hearts and took their souls away."
Michael laughed uncomfortably.
"Then you must come from Market Chipping. Hal sent me down there to blacken his name when we first set up the castle. I said that sort of thing. It's what aunts usually say. It's only true in a manner of speaking."
"Hal's very fickle," said Calcifer. "He's only interested until a girl falls in love with him. Then he can't be bothered with her."
"But he can't rest until he's made her love him," Michael said eagerly. "You can't get any sense out of him until he has. I always look forward to the time when the girl falls for him. Things get better then."
"Until they track him down," said Calcifer.
"You'd think he'd have the sense to give them a false name," Sophie said scornfully. The scorn was to hide the fact that she was feeling somewhat foolish.
"Oh, he always does," Michael said. "He loves giving false names and posing as things. He does it even when he's not courting girls. Haven't you noticed that he's Sorcerer Jenkin in Porthaven,
and Wizard Pendragon in Kingsbury, as well as Horrible Howl in the castle.
Sophie had not noticed, which made her feel more foolish still, and feeling foolish made her angry.
"Well, I still think it's wicked, going round making poor girls unhappy," she said. "It's heartless and pointless."
"He's made that way," said Calcifer.
Michael pulled a three-legged stool up to the fire and sat on it, while Sophie sewed, telling her of Howl's conquests and some of the trouble that had happened afterward. Sophie muttered at the fine suit. She still felt very foolish.
"So, you ate hearts, did you, suit? Why do aunts put things so oddly when they talk about their nieces? Probably fancied you themselves, my good suit. How would you feel with a raging aunt after you, eh?"
As Michael told her the story of the particular aunt he had in mind, it occurred to Sophie that it was probably just as well the rumours of Howl had come to Market Chipping in those words. She could imagine a strong-minded girl like Letty otherwise getting very interested in Howl and ending up very unhappy. Michael had just suggested lunch, and Calcifer, as usual, had groaned, when Howl flung the door open and came in, more discontented than ever.
"Something to eat?" said Sophie.
"No," said Howl. "Hot water in the bathroom, Calcifer."
He stood moodily in the bathroom door a moment.
"Sophie, have you tidied the shelf of spells in here by any chance?"
Sophie felt more foolish than ever. Nothing would have possessed her to admit that she had gone through all those packets and jars looking for pieces of girl.
"I haven't touched a thing," she replied virtuously, as she went to get the frying pan.
"I hope you didn't," Michael said uneasily as the bathroom door slammed. Rinsings and gushings came from the bathroom while Sophie fried lunch.
"He's using a lot of hot water," Calcifer said from under the pan. "I think he's tinting his hair. I hope you left the hair spells alone. For a plain man with mud-coloured hair, he's terribly vain about his looks."
"Oh, shut up," snapped Sophie. "I put everything back just where I found it."
She was so cross that she emptied the pan of eggs and bacon over Calcifer. Calcifer, of course, ate them with enormous enthusiasm and much flaring and gobbling. Sophie fried more over the spitting flames. She and Michael ate them. They were clearing away, and Calcifer was running his blue tongue round his purple lips, when the bathroom door crashed open and Howl shot out, wailing with despair.
"Look at this!" he shouted. "Look at it! What has that one woman, Force of Chaos, done to these spells?"
Sophie and Michael whirled round and looked at Howl. His hair was wet, but apart from that, neither of them could see that it looked any different.
"If you mean me," Sophie began, "I do mean you. Look," Howl shrieked.
He sat down with a thump on the three-legged stool and jabbed at his wet head with his finger.
"Look! Survey, inspect, my hair is ruined. I look like a pan of bacon and eggs."
Michael and Sophie bent nervously over Howl's head. It seemed the usual flaxen colour right to the roots. The only difference might have been a slight, very slight, trace of red. Sophie found that agreeable. It reminded her a little of the colour her own hair should have been.
"I think it's very nice," she said.
"Nice!" screamed Howl. "You would. You did it on purpose. You couldn't rest until you made me miserable, too. Look at it. It's ginger. I shall have to hide until it's grown out."
He spread his arms out passionately.
"Despair!" he yelled. "Anguish! Horror!"
The room turned dim. Huge, cloudy, human-looking shapes bellied up in all four corners and advanced on Sophie and Michael, howling as they came.
The howls began as moaning horror, and went up to despairing brays, and then up again to screams of pain and terror. Sophie pressed her hands to her ears, but the screams pressed through her hands louder and louder still, more horrible every second. Calcifer shrank hurriedly down in the grate and flickered his way under his lowest log. Michael grabbed Sophie by her elbow and dragged her to the door. He spun the knob to blew down, kicked the door open, and got them both out into the street in Porthaven as fast as he could. The noise was almost as horrible out there. Doors were opening all down the road, and people were running out with their hands over their ears. "Ought we to leave him alone in that state?" Sophie quavered. "Yes," said Michael. "If he thinks it's your fault, then definitely." They hurried through the town, pursued by throbbing screams. Quite a crowd came with them. In spite of the fact that the fog had now become a seeping sea drizzle, everyone made for the harbour or the sands, where the noise seemed easier to bear. The grey vastness of the sea soaked it up a little. Everyone stood in damp huddles, looking out at the misty white horizon and the dripping ropes on the moored ships, while the noise became a gigantic, heartbroken sobbing. Sophie reflected that she was seeing the sea close for the first time in her life. It was a pity that she was not enjoying it more. The sobs died away to vast, miserable sighs, and then to silence. People began cautiously to go back into the town. Some of them came timidly up to Sophie.
"Is something wrong with the poor sorcerer, Mrs. Witch?"
"He's a little unhappy today," Michael said. "Come on. I think we can risk going back now."
As they went along the stone quayside, several sailors called out anxiously from the moored ships, wanting to know if the noise meant storms or bad luck.
"Not at all," Sophie called back. "It's all over now."
But it was not. They came back to the wizard's house, which was an ordinary, crooked little building from the outside that Sophie would not have recognised if Michael had not been with her. Michael opened the shabby little door rather cautiously. Inside, Hal was still sitting on the stool. He sat in an attitude of utter despair, and he was covered all over in thick green slime. There were horrendous, dramatic, violent quantities of green slime, oodles of it. It covered Howl completely. It draped his head and shoulders in sticky dollops, heaping on his knees and hands, trickling in glops down his legs and dripping off the stool in sticky strands. It was in oozing ponds and crawling pools over most of the floor. Long fingers of it had crept into the hearth. It smelled vile.
"Save me!" Calcifer cried in a hoarse whisper.
He was down to two desperately flickering small flames.
"This stuff is going to put me out."
Sophie held up her skirt and marched as near Howl as she could get, which was not very near.
"Stop it," she said. "Stop it at once. You are behaving just like a baby."
Howl did not move or answer. His face stared from behind the slime, white and tragic and wide-eyed.
"What shall we do? Is he dead?" Michael asked, jittering beside the door.
Michael was a nice boy, Sophie thought, but a bit helpless in a crisis.
"No, of course he isn't," she said. "And if it wasn't for Calcifer, he could behave like a jellied eel all day, for all I care. Open the bathroom door."
While Michael was working his way between pools of slime to the bathroom, Sophie threw her apron into the hearth to stop more of the stuff getting near Calcifer, and snatched up the shovel. She scooped up loads of ash and dumped them in the biggest pools of slime. It hissed violently. The room filled with steam and smelled worse than ever. Sophie furled up her sleeves, bent her back to get a good purchase on the wizard's slimy knees, and pushed Howl, stool and all, toward the bathroom. Her feet slipped and skidded in the slime. But of course the ooziness helped the stool to move too. Michael came and pulled at Hal's slime-draped sleeves. Together they trundled him into the bathroom. There, since Hal still refused to move, they shunted him into the shower stall.
"Hot water, Calcifer!" Sophie panted grimly. "Very hot!"
It took an hour to wash the slime off Hal. It took Michael another hour to persuade Hal to get off the stool and into dry clothes. Luckily, the grey and scarlet suit Sophie had just mended had been draped over the back of the chair, out of the way of the slime. The blue and silver suit was ruined. Sophie told Michael to put it in the bath to soak. Meanwhile, mumbling and grumbling, she fetched more hot water. She turned the doorknob green down and swept all the slime out onto the moors. The castle left a trail like a snail in the heather. But it was an easy way to get rid of the slime. There were some advantages to living in a moving castle, Sophie thought as she washed the floor. She wondered if Hal's noises had been coming from the castle too, in which case she pitied the folk of Market Chipping. By this time Sophie was tired and cross. She knew the green slime was Hal's revenge on her, and she was not at all prepared to be sympathetic when Michael finally led Hal forth from the bathroom clothed in grey and scarlet and sat him tenderly in the chair by the hearth.
"That was plain stupid," Calcifer sputtered. "Were you trying to get rid of the best part of your magic or something?"
Hal took no notice. He just sat, looking tragic and shivering.
"I can't get him to speak," Michael whispered miserably.
"It's just a tantrum," Sophie said. Martha and Letty were good at having tantrums, too. She knew how to deal with those. On the other hand, it is quite a risk to spank a wizard for getting hysterical about his hair. Anyway, Sophie's experience told her that tantrums are seldom about the thing they appear to be about. She made Calcifer move over so that she could balance a pan of milk on the logs. When it was warm, she thrust a mugful into Hal's hands.
"Drink it," she said. "Now, what was all this fuss about? Is it this young lady you keep going to see?"
Hal sipped the milk dolefully.
"Yes," he said. "I left her alone to see if that would make her remember me fondly. And it hasn't. She wasn't sure even when I last saw her. Now she tells me there's another fellow."
He sounded so miserable that Sophie felt quite sorry for him. Now his hair was dry, she noticed guiltily it really was almost pink.
"She's the most beautiful girl there ever was in these parts," Hal went on mournfully. "I love her so dearly, but she scorns my deep devotion and gets sorry for another fellow. How can she have another fellow after all this attention I've given her? They usually get rid of the other fellows as soon as I come along."
Sophie's sympathy shrank quite sharply. It occurred to her that if Hal could cover himself with green slime so easily, then he could just as easily turn his hair the proper colour.
"Then why don't you feed the girl a love potion and get it over with?" she said.
"Oh, no," said Hal. "That's not playing the game. That would spoil all the fun."
Sophie's sympathy shrank again. A game, was it?
"Don't you ever give a thought for the poor girl," she snapped.
Hal finished the milk and gazed into the mug with a sentimental smile.
"I think of her all the time," he said. "Lovely, lovely Letty Hatter."